that science has no way to address them, then science has nothing to say about them. And that, but you know, that doesn't mean, I'm certainly not of the mind that anything that any question that can't be posed in a scientifically solvable way is not an important question. Of course, many of them are.
And then, of course, the nice thing about science is that over time, the number of questions that it can address keeps growing and growing and growing.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other big question, of course, still remains is that you have particles, and what is mm-hmm. the source of information input that enables them to come together to form even more complex things? That still has to be answered. And yes, there is a big difference, I suppose, from the tack that many scientists might take, you know, from this discovery, and what is the Hindu or Vedic viewpoint. And that ultimately the Vedas postulate that consciousness is the primal function and energy. And it's from consciousness that there is input of intent and information, which allows matter to develop in the way that we see around us.
And Michael, in Nairobi, do you encourage the people who come to the Brighton Morning Star ministry to explore their world with science, or do you sometimes feel that science is threatening the explanations you offer them?
Science does not threaten any explanations that we offer. And in fact, we teach that we expect an explosion of knowledge as time progresses. The Bible does teach that knowledge is going to increase and man shall come to know more about his environment. And so when I find a discovery like this, I feel that it's prophecy being fulfilled. I celebrate it and I applaud those who have accomplished this discovery.
Professor Jaffe?
I guess there's sort of an elephant in the room to some extent, which is many religions, maybe not those that the gentleman here ascribed to, make very specific supernatural claims about the world. And all of those so far, as they've been tested, have been seen to be untrue. Now, of course, you know, the claims are often made in extraordinary and beautiful poetic language, so it's hard to put them into a testable form, and I'm happy if we never do that. But many people, including religious people, like to make testable claims. You know, the world is 6,732 years old, or whatever the actual number is, and that, you know, that is something that is manifestly false and is disproven by many of the pieces of data that we have about the world. And there does come a point where many religious claims do seem to actually do come in conflict with scientific ones, and in all of those cases, as far as I can tell, the science wins.
Yeah, I think Andrew came in at some point in the discussion where there was a huge caveat at the beginning of my statement. I think that religion would not bring you into conflict if it doesn't make claims that directly that require you to ignore the evidence of your own eyes and require you to ignore the evidence of your own brain and your own intellect. So I think Andrew's right. There are religions that do that, of course. Mm-hmm. It seems that we don't have them represented here, and that's great. And I would not want to make a conflict where there's no necessary conflict. I completely agree that there's no necessary conflict. But in cases like that, there really, clearly is.
May I just ask, do you see... Does science disapprove the existence of the supernatural?
No, it's not seen any evidence for it, but it's very hard to prove a negative. But I think in any specific case where that I've seen where some supernatural entity has made an action which is claimed to be not scientifically explainable, actually it turns out that it has been. So it doesn't disprove it. It also has no evidence for it.
And those of you listening, particularly if you are of one faith or another, I'm curious, when you heard the news about the Higgs boson discovery, did your mind turn to your faith, or did you see that discovery as being something completely separate from your belief in whichever God it is that you believe in? If you're near your email, worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com is the address. You can tweet us using the WHYS hashtag, or we're at facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay. We've already gone to Nairobi. Let's go further south to Maputo in Mozambique and bring in Mikhail Umar, who's an imam there. Sir, thank you very much for joining us. Do you think that today's... That doesn't sound very promising. Mikhail, are you there? I'm pretty sure he won't be. No, that sound, as anyone who uses Skype knows, means that the call has sadly come to an end. Never mind, we're not too worried about that, because we can speak to Rabbi Shoshana Gelfand, who joins us from London. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Well, you've heard some of our discussion, so you'll know what I'm going to ask you. Do you feel that your faith is in any way affected by this discovery in CERN?
I really don't. And it's because I think science and religion are asking different kinds of questions and seeking different kinds of truth. They're not incompatible. They're just different lenses. And if anything, they enhance each other. I think science is always asking the question of how. How does the world work, and how can we understand the world that God's given us better? Religion is concerned with moral truth, the whys. And it wouldn't matter how much we understood about how the world works, we still wouldn't know why we're here and what's the moral purpose. And those are the kinds of truths that religion is seeking.
I'm interested that our guests of faith have all said they feel faith complements science, but our scientific guests are perhaps not so enthusiastic about that relationship. Sonny, do you feel that your belief in science or your interest in science is complemented by some of the faiths of the world?
Well, I think the problems come where John was saying earlier about when religions make very specific claims about the way that the world is. Ways about the world that can actually be addressed by science. And when they go into that area, it becomes dangerous. Obviously, if you believe very fervently in a dogma that says that the Earth is only 6,000 years old, you're setting yourself up for a fall. I think that can be extended somewhat to what you were saying earlier about the Hindu texts, broadly speaking. And I think it's because when you try to make connections between ancient, very poetic texts that have been translated and are very beautiful and can mean all sorts of things depending on, and you're comparing it to an analogy of a physical scientific truth. Now, it goes back to what Caitlin was saying earlier about how people shouldn't worry when they're being presented with these analogies, not quite getting it, because the analogies are pictures trying to describe something that in physics can only be described correctly with mathematics. To describe correctly what Higgs is, you need mathematics as a language to be able to describe it. In order to describe it in everyday language that we can understand, we have to paint these pictures, but these pictures will never be complete. And so when you compare these analogies to these poetic texts, you might be able to find some overlap, but also it does become a kind of a fuzzy area that perhaps I wouldn't recommend religious people to walk through.
And I would absolutely agree with that. There's no way I would suggest that the Vedas are describing these things in great detail. But it is just interesting that they do hint at a certain form, nature of reality, which our modern science is helping to unravel and to do in great detail. And it just might be worth using the philosophical rigour that exists in the Vedic kind of approach to look at what we're now discovering and see if we can push it a little further, because we are now going to explore some very fascinating things in the coming century. And my personal suggestion is that there are things we can derive from the Vedanta philosophy, and not just from the old text, but also applying the sort of rigour to the thinking, so that we don't come up with comments like, oh, this is a God particle, which is, you know, that's unclear and meaningless. And
designed to annoy everyone.
And actually misleading. And it's designed to annoy.
It's so annoying more
and more
of our listeners.
That sort of thing we should...
Michael has just tweeted us saying, will the media stop calling it the God particle? It has no religious significance at all. I would say in defence of the BBC, I've heard some presenters, and I think I might have said it on occasions, as this is the particle which is sometimes referred to as the God particle rather than actually calling it. But anyway, we'll do our best to leave that phrase to one side. John, carry on.
I'd just like to come back to what was being said. I think in the end, right, it boils down to the people involved. And you know, religion is something that people are involved, that comes through people, and science is a human activity as well. Some great scientists, many scientists have been inspired in their work by faith. I'm not one of them. I'm not a great scientist, but I am a scientist. I did have a faith at some point, but it's not really been part of my inspiration to do science. But I have friends and colleagues for whom that is definitely the case. Other people react very differently, and there is a clear conflict between religion and science in some areas and in some people's minds. And I think it's down to the person involved. I think and their take on how they approach both religion and science.
This is the BBC's World Have Your Say. Danielle is listening to us on WFYI in Indiana and says, this discovery only makes my faith and belief in God stronger. And Steve in Virginia, a long-time listener of World Have Your Say. Hi, Steve. Thanks for tuning in. He says, for those who say that religion and science could conflict, don't forget the man who came up with the Big Bang Theory was a Belgian Catholic priest.
Yeah, good example, exactly.
And the scientists are nodding in approval of that, Steve, so thank you very much for that email. Now, let's hope it's second time lucky speaking to Mikhail in Maputo in Mozambique. He's an imam. Thank you for joining us. I'm hoping you can hear us well. Tell us if you feel the discovery of this subatomic particle has an impact on your faith.
Assalamu alaikum and good evening to everybody. I was actually listening to everybody speaking and I was reflecting upon it. At the end of the day, I really don't think so. I make a distinction between my faith and science. I think there are areas where they overlap, but I was trying to figure out whether this was actually something that's going to have a fundamental impact on how I view the world or how I view my covenant with God. And no, I don't think so. I think it's interesting. I'd love to see how it's going to evolve, but it does not have a direct impact now.
And perhaps we could also bring in Rabbi Shoshana Gelfand again in London. Do you ever feel that science is going to disprove something which is one of the foundations of your faith, or you don't worry about whether it might do?
I don't worry about that at all. And I really believe that we're limited as human beings. And we can only see the world through one or two lenses at a time. Religion is one lens that I've been given. Science is another lens. Often poetry or metaphors or music or history or sociology, those are all different lenses that we have. None of them are complete. None of them can give me the kind of multiple lenses that I believe a divine being would be able to see the world with. I'd be overwhelmed if I heard all of those different voices at the same time. But to be able to move back and forth between those lenses and to have all of those tools in my toolkit to use at the proper moment, I see all of those as gifts from the divine.
Michael in Nairobi, is that something you can relate to?
Yes, it is. And I would just like to ask, where would the perceived conflict come? I think that, as you discussed earlier, the name, the God particle, was designed to stir up controversy. But from the faith perspective, I think that we actually just have a similar viewpoint. We believe that science is discovering the earth that God created.
Yes, I agree with that totally.
Professor Jaffe, I wonder if you agree with that.
Well, I'm not, you know, as long as we're all interested in just discovering truths about the world, then there's nothing to disagree with. It's when